I wanted to start with Senator Prasansky. Do you want to start, or do you want us to hold off for a minute and start on something else? Okay. Well, why don't we go ahead and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 569?
Yeah.
Senator Shields,
are you on Rules Committee?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I knew Charlie was. I knew you were. I didn't know you were.
Senator Starr, would you like to come up as well?
And Mr. Chair, if it's all right with you, I'd like to call Bob Harning up. He is an individual that Mr. Has a facility that was brought to my attention during the summer. And I know Senator Starr has worked with Mr. Harning during the last session.
I've taken my kids to Mr. Harning's facility. It's a very nice place.
With that, Mr. Chair, let me just take a moment just to introduce Floyd Prasansky, State Senate 4. 569 is here because I actually had the opportunity for the first time to be out at Mr. Harning's venue this last summer. During that event, he and I had an opportunity to talk. He explained to me the situation to him not being able to utilize his facility to a greater degree than what is currently allowed by law. And so he had asked me if I would be interested or willing to try to assist. I told him I vaguely remember of a bill that was introduced last session. Then when I realized it was Senator Starr's area and that he was the one that brought the bill forward last time, I told him that I will work with Senator Starr, and that's why you have the bill before us. Mr. Harning is going to explain to you the situation for him. I will tell you I do have a -1 amendment. One of the things that came to my attention after the bill was originally drafted is that it did not take part of the concerns that Mr. Harning has, and that is how frequent he can actually have some type of operation or some type of event at his facility. And current law restricts it to, I think, once every 3 months. And Mr. Chair, since you've been to that facility, you understand the layout of the land, the size, the stage that he has put up, so he can, in fact, actually have overnight events without having significant impact into the community area, and he'll go over his areas. Now, I spoke briefly with the state health department, who has some issues with how the bill's currently drafted. I understand that you're going to hear opposition from maybe the county sheriffs as well as maybe the county in general. What we'd like for you to do is hear the testimony today, see whether or not we are able to reach some type of resolutions. Not sure if we can. We just started talking this morning. But at this time, we'd ask you to hear Mr. Harning, and Senator Starr probably has some opening remarks as well.
Okay. Senator Starr, do you want to go ahead?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Bruce Starr, State Senate District 15, representing Western Washington County. Appreciate Senator Prasansky's working on this issue. It's kind of interesting how you have a senator from down the valley and visit a location in Washington County, and how we can find ourselves working together on an issue for an Oregon constituent of ours. I think Senator Prasansky kind of laid out the issues. At this point, Mr. Chair, I just prefer to have you hear from Mr. Harning himself.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Harning.
Hi, Mr. Chair. Thank you for having me here. My name is Bob Harning, and I can't, if you don't mind, Senators, if I just read this off first and go from there.
Well, I think it's up to the committee. Why don't you start reading it and maybe go into a summary? And I would just, I think if you just summarize the problem, it works better. But.
Okay, the summary of the problem is basically that back in 1999, there was some issues with not only myself, but many other farms and rural areas that were trying to do such things as company picnics and weddings and everything like that there. So, you know, real events and whatnot. There was a mask out in law passed back then that was supposed to fix this so people could do, you know, small events or just events on the place and do multiple events. And unfortunately, the language of the that was written in and everything else, LCDC took that language, twisted it around, and because they're within a three-month period clause, stated that that can only be once every 3 months. So it's not only myself, but there's a lot of little farms and everything else that have weddings and everything. Laura Cookman and Scott Cookman, they try to do, they have bed and breakfast. They try to do weddings and picnics there. They can't do it. You know, it's a perfect place for it. We have people that have had their farms that they've had it, been doing picnics for years, and now they're being closed down because of the one-month clause and everything. Myself, actually, in truth, because of Measure 37, you know, I don't really have to be here anymore. You know, Measure 37 sort of grandfathered me in, luckily for me. But I'm here because of the rural community. I care about the rural community. I care about the, you know, some revenue enhancements for the rural community. This here bill, and I'm going to read the bottom here of this here. Senators, please understand this law would not allow any building, not allow building of any permanent structures or changes anything that will take the land out of farm or forest use. This law simply allows the landowner to use the facilities they have or temporary facilities brought on site for a specific event, after which it must be removed. It is a win-win situation for the rural landowner and the state of Oregon. The rural landowners get to enhance the revenue while keeping the land as farm and forest use. And the state of Oregon gets the higher revenue of higher taxes while not losing more land to development. This bill does not allow development. Basically allows, you know, events to happen in the place, people come in, enjoy the property, and leave. You know, what's left on the place is footprints. You know, and that's it. It also stipulates, you know, health and health codes here that we're trying to implement. We're saying that, okay, if you have an extremely large crowd coming in, there should be health codes. There should be some sort of health, you know, regulations there, because, you know, sanitation and everything else. That's the health end of the aspect. Right now, there's nothing out there. There's no codes. So we're trying to implement something there.
Mr. Chair, if I could, a couple of things. I guess one, I think there is maybe some health codes through the county. My understanding, one of the issues you're going to hear is that this will shift the burden onto the state for certain levels of compliance, and then also with the counties. And that's one of the things that we'll work with the rest of people. I also wanted to mention to you that besides the bed and breakfast or the facilities that may have weddings, wine vineyard areas, a lot of them are now starting to wanting to have these afternoon or evening type of festivals. And it's my interpretation of the current law, they can only have one of those events once every three months. And when you think about some of the tourist industry that we're looking at up in the North Wine Country and southern parts of the state, that this is one of those areas that I think that we can tweak and still keep within compliance. The other thing, I guess, I'm going to ask Mr. Horning if he would just explain to the committee his facility, the size of it, and how it's kind of laid out and how it's been used in the past, so those who have not been to the facility understand that we're talking about a very large landmass.
Yeah, I have 160 acres up on the plains. We have gatherings of approximately 3,000 people, you know, about four or five times a year, the concert gatherings and everything. Besides, we do company picnics, and the company picnics that we do, we're designated as a private park up there. So the company picnics and weddings and everything else is not an issue because we're designated a private park. The issue here for me, or was the concerts, because it would be, you know, a 2-3 day event, and it was like 3,000 people coming in, and the health codes that you see there is more. I mean, this is just very standard stuff that we always implemented. Now, you know, we. Did I answer your question?
Okay.
I think questions from the committee, Senator Atkinson.
I was just talking. I think that just to have this law on the books to stop you from doing what this is just it never ceases to amaze me how stupid we can make laws around here. Senator Prezansky, I have a law question for you, though. We've talked about corporate picnics and stuff like that. What if you were to have a church youth group there on Sunday afternoons for the summer? Could he potentially be violating this law? Or is there any protection because it's a church kid youth group in a church?
Mr. Chair and Senator Atkinson, I think there are some potential issues there when you have these gatherings. My understanding, and I think Senator Starr may be able to give you his perspective, but I think that the bill, when it was originally introduced last session, it was to accommodate some of the needs of some church organizations that wanted to have larger events, and that they're concerned for how the law is currently written.
Senator Starr here. I would concur with that. I first got involved in this issue when not only Mr. Horning but a number of other farms in Washington County that hosted events ran into trouble. And I think it was in 2001 we started working on this, and haven't kind of figured out the right solution. But it is, I've had farms that have gone out of business. They couldn't make money farming, so they diversified their farm portfolio, created a nice place for the city folks to come out to their farm to have these picnics, to have these events. And then they ran crossways with our land use law, and they had to shut down that. Now those farms are basically out of business. So Mr. Horning, in some respects, is the survivor of some of this, primarily just because he's been able to diversify. He has a large piece of property, opportunities for families to go out and fish in his stocked ponds and those kinds of things. So this is a very real issue that's affected Oregonians' lives. The opportunity for folks to maintain a farm kind of rural lifestyle by diversifying their opportunities to make a living, and having the government come in and say, sorry, you can't do this here now, try something else. And so this is what we're attempting to get to here. And I understand, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I understand there's some opposition to how this particular bill is drafted. Working with Senator Prezansky and others, I'd be happy to try to find the solution. If this isn't the right answer, let's try to find what it is. But right now, we have state government and land use laws that are making it more difficult for folks out there to make a living and provide a service that Oregonians want.
Thank you. Senator Prezansky, or Senator Starr, we've got these -1 amendments, but are you working on additional amendments? Maybe I missed that.
Senator, excuse me, Ringo, the issue came up yesterday as to the health department having some issues. Walking in today, I just spoke with Mr. Powell. He has some issues from the sheriff's perspective, and I believe the county's. Let me tell you, just I want to put on the record, one of the things that if there's a real issue as it pertains to the health issues, the law, the way it's currently written, you can make two changes, the population, the size of the event, and also the frequency of the event, and we could walk away. But I think what Mr. Horning and what Senator Starr were attempting to do was make sure that there was somewhere as to a check and balance on health issues. Now, my understanding is that the county health departments do, in fact, have some oversight under the current, and so we may not need to go there. And I think the only other issue is really on the enforcement part, and I think Mr. Powell will give you this perspective of at least some of the sheriffs.
Okay. Thank you very much. Senator Byron?
I guess the amendment I'd like to suggest maybe to would fix it would be to simply say ORS 433, 735, 763, 197.015 are deleted.
That would be one way to go about it.
That fixes it.
Okay. I got to
understand why this is the role of government. I just don't. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. This is just ridiculous.
Mr. Chair,
I'm going to get up here and defend this. They'll be here.
Just there are clearly when you have this many people potentially in certain
right.
places, I think that the law enforcement issues, traffic issues, I think are ones that are real, and so we'd look you know, if we want to work with the Sheriff's Association, try to find a way to mitigate those issues. But
let's hear from some of the other.
May I say one last thing?
Yes, please? Of course.
Thank you very much. I was just going to say that the main crux of this issue here is the frequency of the event. We can, because of myself and everything, like I say, because of Measure 37, you know, I'm really covered, but I'm really concerned about the other events. We could leave the size. If that, the size is the issue, that's fine. But the within every 3 month period, that clause there really has to be dealt with, because a lot of these other farms, that is the main crux for a lot of these people here.
So from your perspective, if all you did was remove the that 3 month limitation, that would help you a lot.
That would help a lot of people.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's talk to Laurel Cookman, please. And Mr. Cookman, do you want to come up too?
Well, good morning. We are the poster child. We are the people who brought the lawsuit against Marion County, went to the Court of Land Use Board of Appeals, went to the Court of Appeals, and went to the State Supreme Court.
Could you just put your name on the record, please?
Laurel Cookman, Willamette Gables Riverside Estate.
Thank you.
Scott Cookman.
So what we have is a bed and breakfast on 5.14 acres in the north corner of Marion County. On our west border is Shampooey State Park. Our south border is Shampooey State Park. Our north border is the Willamette River. And our eastern border is a poplar tree farm. East of that is another parcel owned by Shampooey State Park. And east of that then is the community of Butteville, where there are houses. So we're surrounded by recreational property. We began a bed and breakfast in 1999, and in 2001, the county came to us and said that we had to cease and desist having any weddings, meetings, or events on our property, which we also felt were covered by ORS 197. So we went to the county, we tried to work with them, and what they did to us was, here is our certificate of final approval for our bed and breakfast, and on the back of it, on the bottom it says, single family dwelling approved for bed and breakfast, also no commercial events or mass gatherings. The largest event we have on our property is 200 people, last about 6 hours. We're at the end of a dead-end road. I don't know. I just, this time limit, you know, what we thought was 120 hours worth of events in any quarter is the rule that we were going by. That's what we thought we were doing. We thought we were doing right by doing that. So now, you know, I don't know how anybody can make a living if they can only have one event every quarter. We're only asking to have 100, we only do 120 hours worth of events all year. And they all have to be outside. We're not allowed to have any meetings inside of our bed and breakfast at all. But we have a full restaurant license, but we're only allowed to serve breakfast. You can't bake cookies, you can't do anything like that. So, my purpose, what I kind of wanted to shed a little light on here is the economics of this whole situation. The largest, the weddings, June, July, August, and October. Those are the months to have weddings outdoors. And there are 2.3 million weddings in the United States every year. The average cost is $22,000. So I ran a little analysis here for you on cost. I would also like to tell you that the wedding business has changed extremely. It is now a high dollar, and it's not just you know, Jill and Sally getting married in Portland, Oregon, and anybody within 100 miles comes to the wedding. That's not the way it is anymore. We've had brides come all the way from Korea, from Australia, from Washington, D.C., from Minnesota, from Las Vegas, to be married on our property. Okay? So here are some figures that have, and they do not include airline fares. Average wedding cost, $22,000. 75 gifts, this is based on a wedding of 150 people. The 75 gifts they would receive come to $6,375. 38 people may be from out of town. Those 38 people staying here for 2 days will spend $15,200, bringing that total to $43,575 for one wedding for 6 hours. Okay? If we were to do for a year, the impact on the economy would be $174,300. If we are allowed to do 20 a year, $3,486,000 would be the impact on the economy. If just our little bread and breakfast could have 20 weddings a year.
And I just want to clarify, right now, how many do you do?
Right now?
Yes.
One every quarter.
Once every 3 months.
In 2004, we were, the max we had ever done in the past was 30. And now, you know, last year I think we had 8 because we already had some of those scheduled when the Supreme Court refused to hear our case. And this year, you know, so far we have like 3 on the books for this year. And that's all we can do. I mean, we have our bed and breakfast, and that's, you know, a small amount of our business. So.
Well, I appreciate your testimony. I kind of want to hear from some of the other witnesses on this bill. So.
Yeah, and we haven't had any law enforcement problems in any of our hearings. Yeah. We had nobody even came to the hearings but us. So.
Okay. Okay. No fights breaking out at your weddings. Huh?
Okay. Any divorces?
We have John Powell. Gail, you're not on the list here, but I think you wanted to testify.
Bert, she signed up over there.
Oh,
she's on the wrong list.
Okay, come on up, John.
Go ahead. David White, okay. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is John Powell, representing the Oregon State Sheriff's Association. Mr. Chairman and members, this bill, or a similar bill, was introduced last session, and the concerns are several. The types of events that you've been told about today cause little, if any, problems. However, you have to understand that this bill would allow any type of organization to apply for these kinds of permits. Lynn County's had experience with the Hemp Festival, which you could see from the freeway as you travel north or south to Eugene from here, an event that went on for several days and did cause a lot of law enforcement problems over the years. As I understand it, the organizer of that is no longer a resident of Oregon, and that particular festival is no longer on the agenda. However, you might imagine if you are a rural resident and somebody starts events in your part of the state, and it does cause traffic problems, littering problems, and without proper sanitation, other types of problems, law enforcement gets those calls. And so one concern with this bill is going from a gathering of 3,000 people to 4,500 people. 4,500 people is a fair-sized little town in Oregon. And to simply transport that number of people to any spot that would qualify under a permit is troubling. And law enforcement does get spread very thin. And when called upon to referee disputes, parking problems, and property damage, it creates a strain on already strained resources. The other problems we have with the bill is the new section in the back of the bill, which creates the permitting process through the state of Oregon, and it has a provision on the last line on page 5, line 7, that law enforcement will be notified not less than 10 days prior to the first gathering. That time frame is very short, and if something like this is going to pass, we'd recommend that more advance warning be given for such a gathering. That would be glad to answer any questions.
excuse me, thank you. Currently, this law doesn't apply for gatherings of less than 1,000. Am I reading that right? You're speaking as less than... It allows up to 3,000. You would move it to 3,000. This bill would change it to 3,000 to 4,500. Correct?
Mr. Chairman, the definition of mass gathering currently has... starts at 3,000. This would move it to 4,500. In essence, you could have a gathering of 4,500 people without it being considered a mass gathering.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
I just point to the problems they have at Volcano Stadium, which is urban property, and the traffic problems and the complaints from people with a gathering of 3,000 or 4,000 people in an evening.
Are relations and land use issues connected to it?
You don't have a problem with doing it more frequently than every 3 months.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know. I was unaware of that amendment until this morning, so I don't know what our organization would think. Weddings, the types of things you've been told about this morning are one thing. If somebody should start a business out in a rural area of frequently having thousands of people coming, would be problematic.
Okay. Senator Barr?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And John, you might not be the person to ask this, but you're testifying about events of thousands of people lasting multiple days versus the testimony we heard, which is company picnics, weddings, concerts, which I assume are one-day events. And then you said that mass gatherings are more than 3,000 people. So how is it that these laws are being interpreted to regulate those a wedding on a Saturday of 200 people?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Beyer, you're right. I'm not the appropriate person to ask because I don't know the details of the laws that the Cookmans took up in the courts. I don't know.
Yeah, thank you. Gail Sibley, Art Schlack, do you want to come on up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Gail Sibley. I'm the Administrator of Public Health Systems for the State of Oregon. And I, for quite some time, I couldn't quite figure out what the problem was that this bill, as introduced, and is introduced, I believe, as Senate Bill 691 in the 03 session, was the solution to. And I think I've learned a lot in the last hour or something. And I believe that there may be a problem. This, I posit, is not the solution to it. The language of 369 addresses ORS 433. It also addresses ORS 197. The state public health efforts center around ORS 433, not around 197. And the language in 433 does, or excuse me, the language in the bill around ORS 433 does a couple things. One, it moves the line, if you will, from 3,000 to 4,500, and you've already heard testimony that 4,500 is, a good number of people. Frankly, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure what the precise magic number may be. I don't know that what the magic of 3,000 was. ORS 433 came about in 1971, when in fact there were mass gatherings of that were lasting more than. And I will quote ORS 433: reasonably be expected to continue for more than 24 consecutive hours. That's day and night, but not. But less than 120 hours. That's less than 5 days, hour after hour, day after night after day after night after day after night, in open spaces with no permanent structure. You can imagine when you have thousands of people day and night, day after day, with no permanent structure, health and sanitation issues are a logical point of contemplation. I will point out that the that ORS 197 doesn't use that precise language, and so there may be some disconnect. ORS 197, I note, says, is not anticipated to continue for more than 120 hours in any three-month period. That's quite a different read. That's my non-lawyer eyes looking at that. But from a public health standpoint, we can't support the proposal in Senate Bill 596 to establish, for the state to establish a permitting system for gatherings between 1,000 and 4,500 people. It's unclear to us who would issue the permits under the system. Would we issue them? It doesn't say if permits would then be state permits or if a permitting system would delegate permitting authority and related enforcement authority to local jurisdictions. If that authority is not delegated, frankly, state public health doesn't have the capacity to monitor local events happening at any time, anywhere in rural areas all over the state. Meanwhile, county public health would still be responsible for mass gatherings with more than 4,500 people. So what if you advertise and you expect 4,000 people, you go through this new convoluted process, and then, wow, you have great things, success, it's 6,000 people. What happens in that kind of eventuality? Local public health is already responsible for permitting temporary food operations at these events. It makes sense for local public health to provide all the services. Local public health is geographically easy for local consumers to access and have staff in place locally to provide services. The bill requires the applicant to submit information on fire and emergency lanes to public health, but to state public health. So all of a sudden, you know, that little knoll that floods every once in a while just down from Farmer Brown's back 40, you're calling somebody in a state office somewhere who probably doesn't know what that little knoll is on the other end of that, on the other side of that lane. So we at the state like the local control, like the consistent local oversight, and don't understand quite how this solution is going to fix the problem that we've heard outlined this morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. You don't have a problem with changing the 3 month date, do you? Making allowing the use more frequent.
Mr. Chair, the issue really is one of capacity from a sanitation, food and safety standpoint. Whether it meets at once every 6 months or once every month, right. We don't care about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Art. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Art Slack with the Association of Oregon Counties. And here to express concerns about Senate Bill 569. We have been part of the discussions in the 2001 session and 2003 session with regard to mass gatherings. And here we are again this session dealing with this subject. I was hoping there would be some interim work done this last session because representatives of DLCD and a number of us looking at the outdoor mass gathering sections of the statute recognized that their work does need to be done in this area. That being said, Mr. Chair, what you have here is something special, kind of outside the normal land use planning program and what is permitted in terms of land use, because the outdoor what we've created over a period of time is a special class of a temporary kind of use with a bunch of sideboards at the local level
to commit something and yet to ensure that it has a minimum impact on the local community. And I think that's one of the things we lose here in the discussion, is not the idea that somebody's having a wedding with 200 people that takes maybe 4 to 6 hours. It's 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 people coming to a place and staying for a period of time, which can have a major impact on the community. And up until now, we have dealt with that best at the local level. And I would submit to you that it is still best to deal with that at the local level, to deal with public safety, sanitation issues, and other kinds of things relating to how one of these facilities take place at the local level. You'll notice in section one of the bill under 433.735 that the definition of outdoor mass gathering, it says, unless otherwise defined by county ordinance. And that's being deleted here. So there is some ability for local government at this point to define outdoor mass gathering, and that may be one of the reasons why you see some variation within the state of Oregon. We always hear and we always say one size doesn't fit all necessarily, and so there is an ability here of the local jurisdiction to have by ordinance a further definition of outdoor mass gathering. Could be smaller than what is currently specified in statute.
Senator Byron.
Thank you. Art, is that how the Cookmans have been caught, because Marion County has defined an outdoor mass gathering as something smaller than 3,000 people?
Senator Beyer, it may be, and it could be the bed and breakfast permit that was given, which is the idea of somebody providing accommodations for guests, you know, within their house, and it's limited. I don't know the specifics of it, but it's possible. It's possible. Mr. Chair, let me just express our concern, one, about the loss of local control for public health, public safety kinds of issues at this point, a concern about raising the limit by 50% at this point, which would have a major impact potentially on communities, and let me just indicate to you that I have, at least in my previous life, professional life, had some experience with an outdoor mass gathering. As the planning director for Polk County, there was a motorcycle event that was staged that in Polk County in the early 90s, 94, 95. 10,000 people, 5 days. We went through a process to actually permit that, but in doing so, there was rigorous review of the health standards at the local level, and it was monitored during the event. There was reserve officers that were hired in order to do traffic control, and it was monitored by the sheriff's office so that there weren't disagreements between individuals that were staying there and these kinds of things. And this is like a 3 or 4 day event that was planned and programmed. It took a lot of work to make sure that it minimized the impact on the community and that there was adequate safeguards that this type of facility could take place in the community without creating problems. We had questions about sanitation, about garbage pickup, about fire lanes being left open so that people could get in, emergency services, just a whole lot of things. So it's something that takes an awful lot. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'll stop. We have these concerns, and we would hope that we would be able to address some of these before this bill moves any closer.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Any questions from the committee? I mean, it's my sense that there are some complications here, but I didn't hear any opposition to simply taking care of the 3 month issue, and so maybe that's a way to go, and you could at least address some of the concerns. But I'll continue to work with the proponents of the bill. But thank you very much.
Mr.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's one more witness. Yes,
you being an attorney, and maybe Senator Pradzinski, but if the Cookmans wanted to hold a political rally at their facility more often than once every 3 months.
Is it? Would you have a political? I don't know. I mean, to me, it raises an issue, but I'm willing to bet you just because it's a political rally doesn't mean you're going to ignore land use regulations. So that would be my guess.
Mr. Chair, I would agree. I mean, I think the state, city, local authorities, whoever is going to have the over jurisdiction, does have the ability to have some reasonable restrictions on any gathering. And what I'm hearing is I think that we can actually probably reach the accommodations maybe with a smaller size increase and maybe limiting the frequency but expanding it from where it's at. But I think political versus religious or whatever, there's still certain regulations that the state, if they can show in good public interest reasons that they can, in fact, have reasonable regulations. If they're not reasonable, they could be challenged and thrown out.
Thank you. Senator Shields.
Well, just as the next witness is coming, I wanted to say I'm supposed to be in a hearing in Woodburn by 8:30, so I got to leave. But I really want to say that I think there ought to be a compromise that's possible where the senators work out something. I hear the local concerns. I think local jurisdictions know the, excuse the pun, but they know the lay of the land best. And yet I want a little bit of pressure on both sides to compromise around this. I don't want land use people just kind of laying down a law that doesn't work and messes up local business people. So I hope there's a real compromise around this. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Can I get, how do you pronounce your name?
Jacqua.
Oh, Jacqua, that's a J. Okay. I was hoping to hear a couple other bills before we lose our quorum up here. And would you mind just stepping back just for 10 minutes while we address some other issues before Senator Shields had to leave?
Certainly.
I'm sorry to do that
to
you, but I'd like to. We had some people come today because we thought we were going to get to. So let's just. We're going to recess on Senate Bill 569, and we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 353. Harlan, do you want to come up and just introduce this, please?
One motion?
Well, I think he's got a dash one amendment.
One and two.
What's that?
The one and the two.
Got it. I didn't want you getting up this morning for nothing, Harlan. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I am Harlan Levy, senior staff attorney with the Oregon Association of Realtors, testifying in support of Senate Bill 353, and in particular the Dash 2 amendments that you have before you. I've been working with Director Shetterly from DLCD on tweaking this language to make it acceptable to him. I spoke with him yesterday. He says he is okay with this new language. I can talk about the bill, but I know that you're in a rush, so I can open it up for questions.
We call the bill. Are there any questions about the Dash 2 amendments?
All right. Senator Beyer, is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 353.
Senator Beyer has moved the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 353. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 353 as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer has moved Senate Bill 353 as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And now let's open the, so that closes the work session. Let's open the work session on Senate Bill, I'm sorry, House Bill 2438. Harlan, is that your bill as well?
Yes, sir.
A public hearing.
Let's start with the public hearing.
Public hearing on Senate Bill 2438. House Bill 2438. See, I'm going too fast. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Again, for the record, Harlan Levy, senior staff attorney with the Oregon Association of Realtors, here to testify in support of House Bill 2438. This is a bill that passed the House of Representatives unanimously about 6 weeks ago. In a nutshell, this bill
overturns a court of appeals decision, or actually asks the LCDC to write an administrative rule that would overturn a court of appeals decision dealing with the land use exceptions process. We have a land use exceptions process in Oregon. We have always had a land use exceptions process since the beginning of the land use planning program. And the process was created as an escape valve to allow for certain uses when there were very stringent criteria applied and that use was not applicable or not allowed under the specific statewide planning goal. There are three ways that you can get an exception. All of them are very stringent to meet. An exception is similar to a variance to a local code. And the court decision that we're trying to overturn is DLCD versus Yamhill County, in which the court said that a county can never allow an exception to allow for a use that is allowed by that particular goal. In this case, the landowner tried to rezone some farmland, rural residential, in order to site a single-family dwelling. This had never been the status of the law before the decision, so this decision did change a significant amount of previous law, and we ask that you pass this bill so that we can return the exceptions process to the way that it had always worked in Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Okay. I appreciate that. I'm going to just hold this because I need to think about it for a little bit, but I appreciate your coming. So let's go ahead and close the hearing on House Bill 2438. We've got a DLCD bill. Let's open up a work session on Senate Bill 96. Bob Rindy, do you want to? Oh, and Harlan also on this one. I'm sorry.
Yes, please.
Harlan on Senate Bill 96. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Bob Rindy with the Department of Land Conservation and Development. And Senate Bill 96 is a concept that was introduced by DLCD. At currently statewide goals, we have to hold 10 hearings to make any amendment to a statewide goal.
Excuse me. We had a hearing on this, and I remember Senator Burdick had some issues. Have you?
I've submitted some testimony that I hope answer the questions
okay.
that were previously raised.
Okay. I'm just trying to cut through the chase here. You don't have any amendments to offer, isn't that correct?
We don't.
We want to go with the original bill based on the reasoning you originally offered.
And what I've offered is some history as to when this was used and on the number of fiscals that we've submitted.
Right. Harlan?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and for the record, Harlan Levy, Senior Staff Attorney with the Oregon Association of Realtors. Just wanted to add our support to this bill. We think it's a good streamlining bill.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there a motion?
Are we in work session?
Yes, we're in work session.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 96 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Byers moved Senate Bill 96 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. You know, I need to get carriers for this bill. I'd be happy to carry that one. Who's going to
carry the first one?
Okay, you'll carry the other one. Thank you for sticking around, Senator Shields. Have fun in Woodburn. So let's go back to our public hearing in Senate Bill 569. Mr. Jaquith? Chakwa. Sorry to keep you waiting, but
go ahead.
Needed to pass some bills here. So.
Chairman Ringo, my name is Matt Jaquwa. I am the representing the Conference of Local Environmental Health Officials. My organization is made up of the county public health staff. That is one of many groups of local officials that are going to be impacted by this bill as it's written. The primary concern of members of my group is the potential loss of local control on these events.
And your group is the local
environmental health supervisors, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
And you know, currently we deal with many other local agencies, police, fire, planning, boards of commissioners when dealing with these type of events, and we would probably continue to work with the state if this bill passed in its current form. The problem is if the state's doing the work, hopefully they would contact us to get local input on relevant issues. the problem is there wouldn't be any way for the county to really recover fund those resources. And that's, I guess, the essence of the issue here is hopefully the state, if this passed, would consult the locals. If they didn't, then I think we're asking for even more problems because obviously the local staff have the local expertise. That's the primary concern here. The size, to reiterate a comment, the 4,500 is a small city, not even a small city. Most of the cities in Yamhill County where I work are smaller than 4,500 people. And it's just hard to imagine siting a city that size on a temporary basis without some pretty serious oversight just to make sure all the essential elements are covered. So again, primary concern is a retention of local control that this bill in its current form would take away.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Byer. Any questions? All right. Thank you very much. Let's close the public hearing on Senate Bill 569, and the committee is adjourned.